Say, hope y'all had a good week. Me and Marley had a great week. I just want to tell y'all real quick to talk to the grandparents and the parents in this room. My awesome parents took our kids from Thursday till today, and I got to remember and see that Marley really does love me. So can I say to you guys, you grandparents, start taking some kids, start giving some young parents a break so they can get back and feel some refreshment and some freedom. There you go. So today's title is David Screwed Up. We're in our third week of our series, Prayer. Somebody shout, Prayer.
Prayer.
That didn't happen first service, see what I mean? Y'all are clicking, y'all are ready to go. Speaking of prayer, let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for these people. Thank you for these people represented here, these families represented here, God. I pray for the children that are in here, the young men that are in here, the young women that are in here, God, and I pray for the grandparents and the parents. Lord, I pray that you would just give me the words that you want me to speak. I pray that you would move me and my words and my thoughts out of the way, God. Anoint this message, anoint my mind, and anoint my heart, God, and let this thing that you've given me speak to the people where they are, Lord. We thank you for prayer. We thank you for the power of prayer and all the different reasons and all the different ways that we need and choose to do prayer, God. But today we thank you for the power of forgiveness. We thank you for the power in prayer today, Lord. So we just pray that you would be with this message, be with this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
All right, so David screwed up. Anybody in here ever screwed up before? Raise your hand. That's what I'm talking about. God bless you for being honest in the house of the Lord. And you other people that didn't raise your hand, us people that raised our hand, we're going to start praying for you. So, like, let me see, like, as soon as you failed, I hope that you found yourself just on your knees or just in your room by yourself or in your pickup or in your ranch truck or on your place or wherever that looks like. I hope you found yourself just finding a place to come to God and just saying, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I jacked up. God, I know that I messed up, but God, please forgive me. Please set me a new straight. Please give me a new clipboard, a clean board, God, so that I can start again, so that I can start fresh. I hope that's where you find yourself. So today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about praying, and we're going to talk about praying for forgiveness. Because all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and all of us are going to fail, and all of us have failed and are going to continue to fail. It's just the way that it is. It's just the way life is. So we need to know about praying for forgiveness. We need to know how to teach our children how to pray for forgiveness. So that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel is a book about the recounts of David's life as he reigned as king of Israel. Before David, it was Saul, the first king of Israel, and then the Lord removed him and made David king in Acts 13:22. It said, and when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will. And when I read that, and I know a lot of you have heard that, mostly everybody in here, but when I read that by myself, when I think about that, like, I wonder what he truly meant when he said, a man after my own heart, a man after my heart. Well, first thing I thought of was, it seems pretty hard. It seems hard to be a man after God's own heart. But really, the first thing that I thought about was it did not mean that he didn't have any flaws. It didn't mean that David was perfect. It didn't mean that David didn't mess up. It didn't mean that David didn't jack up every now and then. It didn't mean that David didn't get mad and lose his temper and say this or say that. It didn't mean that he never had marriage problems. It just didn't mean that David was perfect. So we all need to know that. We all need to hear that today. But what it means that God saw David be loyal. God saw David be obedient. And God saw David stay committed to God's will and follow his commandments. And on top of that, God knew David would do anything that he asked him to do. Can I ask you today, does God know that you and I would do anything that he would ask us to do? Pretty heavy, but it's a good question. So let's look at the life of David up to this point in 2 Samuel. We all know David was a shepherd boy, right? He was a shepherd boy, the youngest son of Jesse. He killed bears and lions. He stayed in the field with the sheep. He was a rancher. He was a farmer. However you want to see David, he wore his sandals. He was in the sun. He was strapping. He was gamey. He was excited about being out there. He took care of the sheep. He had a job. He credited his wins to the bears and the lions to God. And can I just say, he loved the Lord. Young men in here from the 13 years old to 15 years old or to 18 years old, young men, Don't wait. David loved God from a young age. David had a relationship with God from a young age. Don't wait till you get married. Don't wait till something starts happening in your life where you need more than what you can do. Don't wait. Just start having a relationship with God. Then Samuel, the prophet, was sent to anoint him as future king. Right here, the word future, I want you to know that. Saul was king. God sent Samuel to anoint David. He was a young boy in his teens. Anoint him for future king. So this tells me what? This tells me that David knew he was going to have a good future. David knew he was going to have talent, and David knew he was going to be favored by God. But young men, listen to me. God has these same plans for you. same plans for you to prosper, but he still stayed humble. David stayed humble, and he stayed close to God, and he walked out the steps that it took to get to where God wanted him to get to. God has a plan for you. Young men in here, God has a plan for you. Never get tired in the waiting. You young boys, never think that how you're going to school and what you're doing at your job or what you're doing with your parents, never think it's for nothing. God's working in your life. God's doing things for you. He's taking you through some stages. David, he worked. He worked for his dad. He served Saul. He worked. Some of you young men, you young boys, you need to work. You need to weed eat that yard for your mom. Take the trash out for your mom. Help your dad catch horses, feed horses, whatever that looks like in your life. Let's teach our young men to work. And never forget that while we're working and while we're growing and while we're going to school and while we're doing all these things as young men, he's preparing us, he's equipping us to be young men that believe after what God has for us so that we can chase it with everything that we have and see what God has prepared for us. And then eventually, we all know the story, he whipped Goliath. He whipped Goliath as a young man, earning him fame, earning him popularity. And here we are, David is 30 years old and he's king of Israel. 30 years old. He's got some great victories are going on. If you can go back there, you can read 2 Samuel. It's a cool thing to read. It's pretty cool, everything that lines up. But he had some victories over the enemies. He was winning some wars. He had things going. He was doing a good job as a new king. But how many of you know when we're doing a good job and when we're doing a good job at our job or whatever that is in our life and everything looks like it's going the way we should go, we better keep our head on a swivel because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's not worried about what we're worried about. And he's trying to wreck everything in our life. So when everything looks good, we need to keep paying attention and keep having a head on a swivel. Because David, he was high ranking. He was the man, right? Well, let's read 2 Samuel chapter 11, 1-5. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she had been purifying herself from her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house, and the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I'm pregnant." Okay. So this is a pretty big mess up, right? David is messed up. The biggest guy on the totem pole, the guy at the top, he's jacked up. He's messed up. He really understands it. He sees it, man. He's gotten another wife pregnant. He's caught up in adultery. He ought to be at war with the men, but he's up back here with the women, stayed home. He realizes he's in a jam. He realizes he messed up. So now the enemy starts with a little, and he's going to take a lot, right? So he's like, man, I got to fix this. I got to figure out what I'm going to do. So David, he sends for Uriah. Bathsheba's the lady that he stayed with, the lady that he laid with. He sends for her husband. He's been at war. He's been out there with no bed. He's been out there eating short meals. He's been out there not having any baths. He's been out there missing his family. He's been out there just doing what the Lord had called him to do. He was being a loyal soldier. He calls him home and he asks him to come back. He hopes that maybe when he brings Uriah back, he can send Uriah home to stay with his wife, to eat with his wife, to lay down with his wife and cover up everything that he did. But Uriah is a loyal soldier. How many of you know we need some more loyal soldiers in the kingdom of God? Uriah was a loyal soldier, and he says, I'm not going to go home, and I'm not going to go lay with my wife. I'm not going to go eat a good meal, and I'm not going to go take a bath, and I'm not going to go rest. He says, my brothers are out there fighting. My people are out there fighting. The one that I follow, my leader, he's out there fighting. I'm going to stay with them. I'm going to do what I've been called to do. So David's like, man, what do I do? He's worried, like, what am I going to do now? So David, man, he feeds him a big meal. He gets him full, and then he gets him drunk, and he hopes that works. And if you skip down to verse 14, it says, in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. He sent it by the hand of Uriah. He's going to write this letter to get Uriah killed, hand Uriah the letter because he knows he's a loyal soldier, and Uriah's going to take it to the leader of the army, and the leader of the army is going to read it with him standing in front of him, and he's going to think to himself, man, this letter that this man just packed to me is saying that I need to get this man killed. This is messed up, right? This is how the enemy works. The enemy starts small. He starts with a text message to wreck a marriage years later. He starts with a message on Facebook to wreck something later. He starts with a drink when you're 15 to wreck your life when you're 16 or older, whatever that looks like. You see what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? It's messed up. The enemy starts small, and he's tricky. He's tricky with sin. Let's go to verse 15. The letter he wrote set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting and then drew back from him but he may be struck down and die. 26, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she lamented over her husband, and when the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Can I just say right here, all of this crap that I just talked about started with what? David's eyes. It started with David's eyes. It started with what he let his eyes see. It started with where he stayed. It started with not holding his thoughts captive. It started with him seeking something he shouldn't have been seeking. It started with him letting his body and his mind go somewhere it shouldn't have been going. And while I'm right here, can I just say, when I was building this sermon, this isn't really something that I wanted to talk about, but it kept coming back to me and coming back to me, so I'm just going to say it. In 2025, we're living in a world where we have these iPads and we have these iPhones and we have these little young guys, these young warriors trying to be manly God, change the way of the world's going, raise up godly men and do all these things. And then we have these women who are walking around with all of their stuff hanging out on the front and in the back. And then they're just being stumbling blocks for these young boys and these young men that are trying to be warriors in the kingdom of God. And we don't understand while everything's going down in a spiral with what everything that we're letting our eyes see. So I would just say, if you're a woman and you believe in Christ and you believe that you're a disciple and you're seeking the Lord and you're searching the Lord and you're doing all these things, cover yourself up, walk in the will of God for your life. He'll bring you your husband. And because God made marriage for us to come together, he made us to come together and enjoy each other's bodies, but it needs to be in the confinement of the home. So stop being a stumbling block for the next generation of young boys and young men. Started with his eyes. Lost my place. So the Lord was displeased with David. What he had done, it says he was displeased with him. So chapter 12, jump over to chapter 12 in 2 Samuel. It says he sent Nathan the prophet to David. He sent him to confront him of his sin. He sent him over there and he said through David, the Bible says that God tells him, David, I've anointed you as king over Israel. I've delivered you from Saul, your enemy. I've gave you your master's house and I've given you all of his wives. Like, I've given you all this stuff, and if it wasn't enough, man, if you'd have just asked me, I'd have given it to you. This is what the Lord's saying. And when I read that, when I think about that, I just think about the times in my life. We need to pay attention and we need to have some discernment on who we let speak into our life, right? Not everybody you run across is good for you and your family and good for your mind. That's just the way life is. But we do have discernment through the power of the Holy Spirit of who we can listen to and who can correct us and who can grow us and who can speak to us. So if God sends somebody who's in your circle who loves you and loves your family and wants the best for you, and they've seen where you were and now they see where you are, if they start speaking life into you and talking to you about your sin and talking about to you about where you need to go and what you need to quit doing, we need to be humble enough to be like, man, thank you. Thank you for letting me know, and we need to take action and we need to take care of it. Since you have done all this, verse 11, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. 13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Verse 14, nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die. That's a great example of what I just talked about. Nathan comes to him, and David's like, man, you're right, I failed. I sinned. I fell short. I sinned against my Creator. I sinned against the one who blessed me with everything that I have. And he humbles himself and he admits it. And that's the first step. It's a great thing. David hears what Nathan said, and then he humbles himself, and then he confesses his sin, and then it's done. It's done. He failed. It's over. But now he's got to lay it down. Now he's got to go talk to God. Now he's got to go spend some time with the Lord. Now he's got to go pour his heart out, like we talked about last week, just pouring his heart out to God. Now he needs to go talk to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, get a clean slate, get a new whiteboard. Psalms 51, 1 through 4, this is David's prayer. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Boom. As soon as he sends his prayer, as soon as he admits, as soon as he tells the Lord, man, I'm sorry. I've messed up. I know my transgressions. He's set free right there. He's forgiven. He's forgiven, but there still lies the consequences of the sin. The baby's born. God said he's going to afflict the child. He's going to kill the child. The baby gets sick. Well, David, he's still, you know, he's a man after God's own heart. It's still struggle. It's still hard. He says, you know what? I'm going to fast. And I hope God changes his mind. I hope God lets the child live. We fast. And on day 7, the child dies. The child dies on day 7. Imagine right here. David, he's forgiven, but he's weak. He's forgiven, but he's mentally wore out. He's forgiven, but he's physically wore out. He's emotionally jacked up, but he's forgiven. But he's carrying this weight. But these things are happening from him. I mean, a baby dying in front of him. A man getting killed by his hand. A wife whose husband was lost. Just imagine where he's at. Imagine where he is mentally. But he's forgiven. He's prayed the prayer. He's good. But he's got two choices right here. He's got two options. What's he going to do? Number one, he could stay down. He could stay depressed. He could stay mad. He could get mad at God. He could get drunk. He could fall off the wagon. He could quit going to church. Whatever you could do, he could do. Or the second thing he could do is he could lay it down. He could lay it down, pick himself up, walk in the forgiveness into God's plans that he has for him next. Because God doesn't stop. Let's see what David did. 2 Samuel 12:20. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes. This is after the baby died. And he went into the house of the Lord. He went to church and he worshiped. And then he went to his own house. And when they asked, they set food in front of him and he ate. David said, you know what? I'm forgiven. You know what? I messed up. You know what? I've made a horrible bed, but I'm not going to live in that bed. I'm not going to stay in that bed. I'm not going to carry this bed to next week. I'm not going to take it to next year. I'm not going to take it to next month. I'm not going to take it to my family. I'm not going to take it to my kids. I'm just going to leave it behind. I asked for God for forgiveness. I told the Lord that I'm sorry. I told him I just needed him to change everything for me, forgive everything that he's done for me, and I'm moving on. Everybody in this room has fallen short of the glory of God in some way or some other, and if you haven't, you will. All of us have. None of us are special. We're all jacked up. We're all going to fail. Maybe it was last night. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was last year, or maybe it's 10 years ago. Maybe you're carrying something from years and years ago, but we all got to know and we all got to remember that Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, all of us have fallen short. Not just a few, not just you, not just I, all of us. So we need to say our forgiveness prayer, and we need to take a bath, and we need to change our clothes, and we need to wake up, and we need to be the beast that God created us to be. We need to realize that he's got plans for us. We need to realize that he ain't worried about how we were acting back then. It's not about who I was then. It ain't about who saw me smoking this over here, or who saw me drinking this over here, or who saw me acting like this over here, or treating them like this, or worried about them like this. It ain't about all that. God ain't worried about all that. God's worried about what he's going to do after he works through you. God's worried about what he's going to do after you get forgiven. So worship team, if y'all come, I'll start wrapping it up. It's important. It's important to go forward. It's important to ask for forgiveness and then go forward, because God wants to use us. He wants to bless us, and he wants to be glorified through us. Everything the enemy means for evil, that God turns for good. We can't see it. We don't understand it. Let's look at 2 Samuel 12:24. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba and went into her, and he lay with her, and she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. The Lord loved him. This signifies that this signifies God's moving on. God forgave him. God forgave him for the death. God forgave him for the lie. God forgave him for the sex outside of marriage. God forgave him. And now he's had this other child, and God's blessing him. God laid his blessing on the son. God's moving on. Are we going to move on with God, or are we going to keep running back to the same dirty bag? God's moving on. Let's move on with God. It ain't about who we used to be. It's about who he wants us to be. Let's go with God. Let's move forward. Let's lean out over it and go forward. And also, he still loves David. He still loves David. He doesn't take back what he said about him being a man after his own heart. After an affair, after lying, after two innocent deaths, God still forgave, and God didn't stop there. God ain't going to stop. You ask for forgiveness, you keep being obedient, he ain't going to stop. You see, Solomon, he went on to be the third king of Israel. He wrote 3 books in the Bible. God used the son that came from all of this wreck. I don't know where you come from. I don't know what your past looks like. I don't know what your life looks like, but God wants to use you. God's got plans for you. He ain't worried about how you got here. It don't matter, because he knew you were going to get here. 1 Corinthians 1:27. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm qualified. You're qualified. I mean, Luke Sprayberry, qualified. Reggie, qualified. Spur, you're qualified. God can work through your screw-ups. God can work through your screw-ups because he wants to be seen through them. If we were all perfect, then the people that were around, the people that we lead, the crew at the ranch, or the people that we work around at the grocery store, or the people that we work around at the truck stop, or whatever it looks like in your life, if we were perfect, God couldn't use us. But when you step into that bunkhouse in the morning and you speak to those men and they see where you've been and now where you're at, man, if they're going through what you're going through at home or whatever that looked like in your life, or if you step into your truck stop to lead them and guide them or whatever, when they see that you're where you're at now and where you used to be, it gives them a fire inside and it gives them a drive inside that, man, if he can do it, I can do it. If God can work through him, he can work through me. This is what it's all about. It's not about staying back here looking back. It's not about staying where we were. It ain't about sitting in that mess. It's about dropping it, moving forward so God can use us, so God can be seen through us. So as we go through the bottom line, I just ask you to close your eyes and think about where you're at. God's shaping us. Young men, young women, he's shaping you. He's preparing you. He's preparing you for what you have in your future. He's preparing for what he wants to do in your life. He wants to be used and seen through the transformation. He wants to see the miracle that comes out of your life. It's all about him. It ain't about us. When we stop making it about us, then God will be working in us and through us. But as we navigate through these stages, there's going to be some failures. There's going to be some failures, and the enemy's tricky, and the sin starts small. So pay attention. Pay attention how you speak to people. Pay attention how you love on people. Pay attention how you do your job. Pay attention how you talk to your spouse. Pay attention what you look at on your phone. Kids, what are you looking at on your phone? What are you talking about in the locker room? What are you doing? Pay attention. But if we do stumble and we do fall in a trap, what are we going to do? We can let it define us, or we can fall on our knees in prayer and we can repent. And then we can repent and we can move forward. We can press on. We can go with God. Because like just like David, when God forgives us, he's moving on. And we got to choose to go with him. Don't stay there. We're cheating ourselves out of time. Don't stay there. Never go back. So I've challenged y'all the last 3 weeks with something. And this week's simple. My challenge is stop carrying the baggage. Stop carrying the baggage. Jesus came and took it. He came and took it for you through the beating and through the lies and through all the hurt and all the pain and the cross and the blood. It's under the blood. He took it for you so that we could come back. He knew we would fail. He knew we would need him. He knew we would need to repent. Don't pick it up. Stop carrying. Lay it down. Man, if you've asked for it, I've been there in my life. I'll be good for a month. I remember I would be good for a month about this thing, and then it would come back up. And then I would be good again, and then it would come back up. Look, that's the old you. The Bible says it. It's not I who lives, but Christ who lives inside of me. It's not my mind, but his mind. It ain't my will, but his will. We can plan our way, but he establishes our steps. Don't pick it back up. I know there's people in here that are picking up the same trash. You're picking up the same thing you dealt with back then. Stop picking it up. He's forgiven you. He's forgot it. And if you're in here today and you haven't asked him for forgiveness for what you've been picking up, today during this last song, get with God. Get with God in your heart. Get with God in your mind and ask him right here today. God, I'm laying this down. I'm leaving this bag in here. And I'm going to step across the threshold of those double doors and I'm not taking it with me. I'm not going to take it with me. Here's another thing I struggled with for so long, just like the second song they sang. The enemy would tell me for so many years, so many things, like, man, I knew there was something else. But in my mind, I heard from the enemy, Luke, you've been doing this too long. You've been this person too long. They know you by this. They saw you do this. That's how I lived. That's what I thought. But then now I'm getting to this realization and thank God for it, and you can get there too. He don't care about what you used to look like. He cares about what he sees in you. So stop letting the lies of the enemy, stop letting the lies from hell, Change your direction of life. Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. When he forgives you, he don't remember it. So why are we remembering it? Let's stop remembering them. Let's go. Let's move forward. Stop looking back. Run the race before you. So God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this service. I thank you for these people here, God. I thank you for the ones that are supposed to be here today, God, for this message. Lord, just to speak to them. Soften their heart, God. Shape us up. Shape us up for what you have in the future, God. Get us prepared. Prepare our minds. Prepare our hearts. Prepare our families. Prepare our church. Lord, keep us alert from the traps of the enemy. Lord, let us know that your word says that you are faithful, and that with every temptation, God, your word says there is an escape route. Lord, let the kids in here know before they make that decision to do this or make that decision to do that, God, that there's an escape route. God, let them see that route so they can get out of it, so that they can go back home to their mother and father, so that they don't have to live with regret. God, let them see those temptation routes. Lord, give us confidence to go forward when we do fail. Just confidence that you hear our prayer, confidence that you've forgiven us, confidence that you got something for us. Let us have confidence. Confidence in it, Lord. Let us have confidence to drop the baggage at your feet, to never pick it up again, to just lay it there. God, remind us daily. Renew our minds that you want to use us, that you want to use us in spite of what we used to do, in spite of what we used to say, in spite of what we used to smoke, in spite of what we used to drink, in spite of how we used to talk. God, you want to use us. Remind us. And God, let us mean it today when we say, for those ones in here that say they're not going to pick the bag back up, God, let them mean it in their heart. Let us mean it. Let us mean it when we walk out those doors that we're not taking it with us no more. It's under the blood. We've been forgiven. We got things to go do. Things for you, God. Things with you, God. So we're not going to sit there anymore and let that worry our minds and let that wear us down and let that tear us down, God. Let us mean it today when we say, we're leaving the bag there. Leave the bag. Speak through us this last song, God. Be with those who are going to ask you for forgiveness, God. Let them be so renewed as they walk out of here today, God. Let them be lighter, let them be free, and let them have fire and passion to go on and see what they have for you in their life.